Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Well, all right. My name is Rich Keith. I have a lot of emotions. And joining me right now is Romanoff von Domanoff, as he always does. Davey Eyeballs. It's the all hail the king of ginger ale. Davey, dare I ask, how are you?
I don't know anymore. I'm just so emotionally drained and just spent and just, it's been a weekend, man. We did Game of Thrones last night and I didn't want to talk too much about it during that live thing, which was an incredible success, might I add.
Yes, it was. Despite all of the technical difficulties early on, we are doing YouTube live reaction following these Game of Thrones episodes. Yep. So it was good. But this was just, as I think where you were headed, it's such an overwhelming weekend. Like for dorks like us, it's the most anticipated TV show, the most anticipated movie franchise.
And
the second most. No, the franchise. The franchise.
Yeah,
the franchise. The movie, I understand, is the second for 2019. Yeah. But just to have them essentially back to back and like the weight of both of them.
Oh, man.
I mean, I know it's dorky or nerdy or whatever, but that's what we are. And it's just like, space these things out a little bit. Like it's hard to grasp because I'm like watching Endgame and like in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, what's going to happen on Thrones? And then as I'm watching Thrones, I'm like, wait, so what does this mean from Endgame? Like it was just one of those things where I was constantly going back and forth.
And the thing with Endgame, like I'm still not over some of the things that happened in Endgame. So like to pile on what happened in Game of Thrones last night, it was just like, Jesus Christ.
It's a lot. But it's a lot to unpack. And I know probably everybody has already seen it. And if you're listening to this, you've already seen it. We will still do some spoiler-free stuff at the beginning. But I think, Ryan, just to get some semblance of normalcy back in our life, let's just do, albeit a very brief and quick, This Week in Dork.
Sure.
Things first, I just want to make it clear that we are covering Game of Thrones like no other podcast.
Nobody
podcast talks about Game of Thrones. We're
none
doing it. They're halfway through the season. Our full reaction to The Long Night, which ended up being the name of the episode, not the Battle of Winterfell, but that's available on YouTube. It's also available on the podcast format here on Dork. Without giving anything away, so if maybe people are taking their time for that and want to circle back. Now that you've had a little bit more time to think about it, on a scale from 0 to 6, what would you give just that one episode?
A 5.
I was thinking the same thing, actually, because I know a lot. It was really polarizing. Like, just from, like, the chat that we had going last night, it seemed like people would have either given it like a 6 or a 2. Like people were all over the map on it.
Yeah. And I think one of the big knocks, and I think I went on the internet today just to see what people were thinking, because we did it immediately after, but people complaining about how dark, like it was not dark, not dark in terms of tone, but dark, like you couldn't see anything.
Like me playing Friday the 13th.
Yeah, like you remember can't that? See anything.
I could. Yeah. I was like running into doors and like just open it. I'm like, I can't see it. I can't do anything. Yeah. So yeah, it was really dark. And so that's one of the complaints. But anyway, we'll have more on Game of Thrones. A couple of other things, Ryan. Both were trailers prior to Endgame. Mm-hmm. One was Men in Black International with Thor and Valkyrie in there.
Yeah.
Is this a theater movie for you? Do you have any interest in this at all?
None. Unless this movie comes in hot with like over 90s on Rotten Tomatoes for both audience and critics, yeah. I'm not going to see it in the theater. It just doesn't
move.
It doesn't
move me either.
Yep.
Not in a good way. Also, Dark Phoenix. They have been trying to shove Dark Phoenix down our throats. Am I crazy thinking that it kind of looks all right?
Yeah, you're crazy.
Okay.
Like normally we are simpatico on this podcast, but I am even though we have this in the movie draft, I am all the way out on this. I think this looks terrible.
I'm just happy that it's actually going to be released.
Like, oh yeah, didn't they try to put it on like Hulu or something?
There was talks that it might not make it to the big screen, but it's going to be in the big screen.
It's going to be on the big screen. It's clear to me, even from the trailer, and even if you see like 10% of the movie in the trailer, that Jennifer Lawrence is just mailing this in. Like doesn't she wants to nothing to
does,
do with this.
Doesn't want
to
be there. Yeah. Sansa could be good.
She could be good. She might be on a bit of a heater after this one. So people might go to see that just because she's in it and she's been doing such a good job on Game of Thrones, but we'll see.
The other bit of news, Jeopardy has become must watch. I don't know if you've noticed this, gentleman.
Oh, I'm following. This guy is awesome.
This guy's insane.
He is electric.
Now, I don't think he's cheating. Do you think he's cheating?
I don't think so. I think he's just like, I don't know how he's doing it, but I'm fascinated. And like Ken Jennings was the all-time champion.
He won 74 in a row.
And he's just like I had little less interest in that because he was such kind of like a nerd.
Yeah, he would just win, but it was... He just played the game like any other person would play the game. Whereas this guy is reckless. Like he does all like the $1,000 ones first or $2,000 ones first. He seeks out the daily doubles.
It's all true daily doubles.
Same with like Final Jeopardy. He's going crazy. And then sometimes he'll throw out like random numbers. Like he'll have like 15 grand and he'll be like 9,118. And they're like, Trebek's like, okay. Fine.
I can't argue with it. It's one of those things. It's not crazy if it works. You know,
no, it's obviously working for him. Yeah. So that's all the news I got, Ryan. Let's quickly get to some of your news here.
All right.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
Well, so the one thing I want to bring up today, so Fortnite is doing an Avengers crossover now. Remember they did the Infinity War one where you could play as Thanos, and this Fortnite is just the game that won't go away. I was reading an article that Apex viewers on Twitch has been cut 75% over the last month. Like people just aren't
really. So it kind of burned
and
hot.
Fortnite's back up. So this game just won't go away.
Interesting.
And one of the things they've done, it's a kind of like a 20-on-20 battle royale where like you're on the Thanos team or you're one of the heroes teams. Okay. So you can get Hawkeye's bow, you can get the repulsor rays, the Iron Man repulsor rays, you can get Cap shield, and you can wield Stormbreaker.
There you go.
And then if you're on the K'thori side, if you get all 6 Infinity Stones, you become Thanos again.
Okay.
So all the heroes have like 3 times the health and yada, yada, yada. So it's pretty good. And I think that's a great tie-in. And as this isn't spoilery, but there is a little tip of the cap to Fortnite in Avengers Endgame.
Absolutely.
That's pretty much it. The other thing I would say, so Days Gone came out for Sony. It's a PlayStation exclusive game, which people did a lot of hype for. But I guess it's just kind of okay. Kind of stinks. Which is a rare miss from Sony. This game had a lot of hype going towards it, but it's just an okay game. But that's it. I don't want to talk anything about it. I just want to do this and get this.
Okay, Ryan. Thoughts. Dare I even ask? Are you ready for the topic du jour?
I'm not. I never have been. Never will be.
Well, the topic du jour is actually, it's the topic of the day, and it's brought to you by Manasol Artisanal Edibles Company in Santa Cruz, California. They use organic, sun-grown flowers to make full-melt cold water extract by hand and infuse it into small-batch organic edibles, making their products the highest, cleanest quality. Available all across California very soon. Manasol, solventless, organic, uncompromising, local.
I love it.
So our top, it's Avengers Endgame today, Ryan. This film, 3 hours, 1 minute long. Last check, this could have moved 96% Rotten Tomatoes by the critics, 93% by the audience, and breaking every kind of box office record you could possibly ask.
What is it, $1.2 billion in the first weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, so based off of those numbers, I assume all of you have seen it. The question is, have you seen it multiple times?
Not yet, however, I will.
However, no, not you. I'm saying like the listener.
I'm going to.
Okay, fine. Jeepers. You're not mad at me. All right, so what we're going to do is we're still going to do spoiler-free to begin, even though, again, I know most of you have already seen it. So again, non-spoilers, Ryan, let me ask you simply, did you like it?
Oh, God, yeah. I did.
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, I did.
I did too.
Yeah. I was just about to ask you.
I know you were wondering. I did very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you think, Ryan, of the story of the film?
I think if there's one downfall of this, and I will get into it when we get into spoilers, the story is a little muddy to start.
Yes. And we'll get into it in spoilers why the story can be tricky. I think you kind of, again, based off of Infinity War and then what you were setting yourself up for, how you were going to do it, the story was going to be a little kind of, you know, on the fence at times. Another thing I thought at times may have suffered because the story needed to be set up the way that it was is I don't think there was as much action as you might have anticipated.
There should have been more action, a little bit more action.
That's my nitpick is if you go back to rewatch this, again, a 3 hour movie, you get through about an hour and let me know how much action there was. Many superheroes, so many powers, so many things, like how much did you really see? And I think it was just because they had so much to get to and so much to finish up.
Absolutely.
What about the comedy?
Surprisingly good. I thought there was moments that it was, and for such a heavy, heavy movie, it needed it and it did it well. The parts that were funny enough that like it took your mind off kind of what was happening. And, so I thought it was very well done.
The use of the characters, this was kind of an interesting one because I thought a handful of characters, which we'll get to, really shined. And then others, you know, depending on who your favorite character was, you might have come away a little bit more disappointed. Whereas in Infinity War, whoever your favorite character was, as long as they were in the movie, they did something, either had a line or did like an action sequence or something where you're like, oh, that was sweet. Whereas in this movie, it was more kind of dominated by a handful of guys.
And like I think you said, like in Infinity War, one of the beauties of Infinity War is everybody got their due. Like everyone got their like 10, 15 minutes of like, this is who this character is. And I think what this does is it sent, like you said, the nucleus of this is six characters basically. And their journey for 21 movies up until this point.
Yeah.
And how it works out for them. And so some people kind of fall by the wayside. We'll go through all the characters, I'm sure. Some of them kind of get dusted, no pun intended, but I think it wasn't at the end. It wasn't about them, you know?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. And again, really going to show you how 22 movies and how important like all of them were. Like it did a good job. And like I'm not going to go revisionist history and say, "Oh, it was 22 great movies," cuz it wasn't. We're all excited about it now, but early on there was more misses than hits if you're really looking back on it and compared to the bar that they set for themselves. Like you go back to Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, The Incredible Hulk, even the first Captain America, these weren't unbelievable movies. Since then though, they've really raised their game. And so with that, as it stands right now, one viewing in out of the 22 movies, where would you rank this on the Ryan Davey big board?
See, this is tough because I feel like this movie is such a great culmination of all of the movies.
Yeah.
But if I had to sit down and be like, you know, James Gunn, Sean Gunn.
Yep. Head to Dick. Yep.
Head to Dick. Yeah. Yep. You have to watch one Marvel. I don't know if I'm picking this in my top three.
So it's funny you say that. I have it right now third. It's on the podium.
Yep.
It's getting a bronze medal. I'm still going Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, number one with a bullet for me. Yep. I actually slightly preferred Infinity War. I want Infinity War 2, Endgame 3.
I like that. I'm with that.
That's where I'm at right now. I think there's plenty of others that you can make an argument for. But to me, it's almost like you can't really look at this as a standalone movie in a sense, because so much of it, and same with Infinity War, like you needed all these other movies to make those make sense or to have like the weight right. that they did.
Yeah.
And so based on that and knowing how difficult it is, not just in movies, like ending trilogy, like nobody ends 22 movies for Christ's sakes. This is never going to happen again.
No.
But you know, ending a trilogy, or more importantly, how many times have we seen a TV show, a series end, and you're like, well, that was the ending? Like, are you kidding me?
No. And I think, and I was talking to a child about this the other day, and they were like, well, it's really not that big a deal. I'm like, you have to think of movie trilogies you've seen and how people struggle. Like, for it, and I brought up look at The Matrix. That was three movies.
Yeah.
And look at the struggle of continuity over three movies. The Matrix couldn't do it.
Godfather 3 was
Godfather
so
couldn't do it. Like,
even Dark Knight Rises, I thought was
a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah,
and it was. And you're messing with like continuities and like all those movies. 22 movies over 11 years. Like, that is never going to happen again.
No. Like, no, that's, it's definitely not.
Fascinating.
I also think that they really did take some chances too. And I think right now we're looking at it like, oh, Marvel did everything perfectly. But in reality, they tried launching an Inhumans show. First, it was going to be an Inhumans movie. Then it was going to be a show, and that fizzled. And yet they were able to keep going. But I go back to a couple of movies. If Guardians of the Galaxy ended up being a bomb, and if Ant-Man ended up being a bomb, they have to do things so differently. And they either don't do Infinity War / Endgame, or it just looks so different, because I think those movies were the real surprises of the whole MCU.
And I don't think they surprised Kevin Feige. I think he knew, and I think I can't praise that entire team enough. Because Jesus Christ, like that was so, or take what you want away from the things that people didn't like about the movie, that you can go on like Twitter and find out what people didn't like about it. But like, to me, like those didn't matter. Like, and we'll get to what matters in a second. And like, to me, but, wow.
Let's unveil the hashtag dork scores, Ryan. Mm-hmm. What would you give this on a very fittingly score or a scale of 0 to 6?
6.
I'm going 6 as well. And I'm going, dare I say, rock hard 6.
Rock hard 6. And we're going to get some grief from that. But I will enjoy the opportunity to explain myself. But right now, it's a rock hard 6 for me.
And there's no end credits here. And no. I debated on whether or not that'd be a spoiler or not. But just it's not going to take anything away from the movie. There's no end credits. There is like an actor role kind of at the end.
Which is cool. Which is super cool.
Which I stayed for, even though I saw like a really late showing, and I stayed for that. So anything else? So I'm not even going to ask the question, is it a theater movie? The question that we rarely get a chance to ask is it a second and third time in the theater movie?
It is an absolutely, if you see this movie on a 50-inch, 55-inch TV in your home, other than having a home theater, like if you just, you are doing yourself a immense disservice. Like this is what movie theaters are made for and what they are made to do. You need to see this in the best screen, the best sound you can possibly see.
And there's so many, like I haven't gone back. Unfortunately, I haven't had time between Thrones and Bruins and Celtics. Mm-hmm. And then even there was a couple of showtimes I could have gone to, and the two theaters near me over the weekend, both sold out, obviously. Yep. So I'm going to try to get there. Actually, we have more tickets to give away. So if you want to go to it, we'll try to circle back to that, or we'll tweet them out later. We'll try to give away some more tickets to this. But it's also one of those movies, because it's 3 hours, it's easy to kind of forget certain parts, you know, mm-hmm. like,
yeah.
So we're going to try to unpack all of this. I'm sure we're going to leave some stuff out. I was also thinking that this is just going to be a number of you guys have already emailed and tweeted us, but this episode is just going to be me and Davey's thoughts. I'm thinking we do a separate episode reacting to questions and answering stuff and all that stuff. So
yeah, I know I would love
sending those in.
Yeah, I would love to get other people's input and ask. I would love to do a Q&A about this. Yeah. And because even that, like, it's so big, like you said, you're gonna have to see it a bunch of times. We're gonna have to do multiple podcasts because we're gonna forget stuff.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%.
We're gonna forget certain things because it's just, it's a lot. And I would say that it's a lot.
It's a lot. It is a lot. It's not only is it 3 hours. First of all, the 3 hours hummed by.
Oh my god, I didn't. Like, even, I was like, no,
hummed by.
Like the screen went black, and I was like, what? Like people were worried about peeing and stuff. Like, no, I didn't want to leave my
notice.
Feet.
Didn't even notice. It's funny because Hellboy was 2 hours, and I looked at my phone like 7 times.
You felt every minute of it.
This was 3 hours, and I'm like, what, did I miss a chunk? Did they take a bunch of it out? All right, so let's go to spoilers. Spoilers, sure. spoilers. First off, you had a little bit of an incident there with one of your students. What happened here?
Okay, so what happened was a student of mine actually, I'll say spoiled in quotation marks. He spoiled the movie for me. We were in class and I wrote this thing. I sent you a text. I wrote this thing on the board. I was like, I'm seeing it tonight. I'm seeing it with my wife. No, I haven't seen it. No, I don't want to hear about it. Blah, 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 blah. And so he starts bringing it up. Like he starts talking about like all of, you know, his friends saw it and blah, blah, blah. And like what they thought. And all the kids are in class are like, dude, stop. Like, stop. Yeah, like enough. We're seeing it tonight. Like enough. And he's like, what? And he goes just like this. So this is how this happened. Cause it's hard to explain like over text to you and whatever.
Yeah.
So he goes like, what, what's the big deal? Like, great. 21 movies. Great. 11 years. Fine. Oh, Hulk dies. Big deal. And the whole room goes like dead silent.
Oh,
and like, but
first of all, he's wrong.
He's lying about it, but none of us knew.
You don't know. And by the way, that's such shit too, because he saw it on Thursday,
yes,
which is now like the new Friday, or at least it has been for a while.
No, he didn't see it.
Oh, he did. Well, clearly he didn't because he lied about that.
Yeah, his friends saw it. So like he was telling what his friends were talking. He's like, well, big, so what? Hulk dies. Like I said it over text. I'm like, he wasn't in the legal system. This was like negligent. It was like manslaughter. Yes. It wasn't murder.
Yeah.
But like, we're all sitting there and we're just like, and he's like, what? And we're like, dude. So I like it was bad, but it turned out it wasn't true. So
it wasn't even true.
So the whole thing, I'm pissed. I'm waiting for Hulk, Professor Hulk, to die the entire movie, and then he didn't die.
Well, so, if that's manslaughter, first degree murder would be LeSean McCoy.
Oh yeah,
fucking dickhead. Buffalo Bills running back LeSean McCoy tweets out right after seeing the movie, and again he saw it like Friday afternoon. So even if you tweeted that out now, it'd be a spoiler. But before the weekend is insane.
Like, that's brutal.
He tweeted out in all caps, RIP Tony Stark, and he spelled Tony wrong.
What do you spell with him? Like Tony? Like with an I?
T-O-N-E-Y, I believe.
Oh my God.
And then he did like two more and got video, and people were just crushing him for it. And they were so mad at him. I think he's just stupid. I don't think he's stupid. Trying to be like the
no,
he's just stupid. I was explaining on the radio today, there's two kinds of people who spoil movies. There's the one that they just hate themselves so much that they don't want anybody else to have any kind of enjoyment.
Yep.
And it's like a way of like, it's a self-loathing kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're like, I don't find enjoyment in anything like you do, so I'm going to try to ruin yours.
Right.
Then there's also just the idiot.
Just idiot.
Who doesn't realize, like, he probably thought, he was like, oh, let's talk about this. And you're like, no, idiot, we haven't all seen it yet.
Yep.
I think it's like sort of a mistake.
So just to put a button on my story. So the student who did that, I have in my classroom, I call it the shame helmet. It's a hockey helmet,
yeah,
with the big letter shame written on it. And the student asked if he could wear the shame helmet in class as punishment. Well, I didn't make him wear it, but I said, you're going to wear the shame helmet today.
And by the way, you just got an F in this class. So sucks. Good luck to you. Yeah.
Good luck.
All right, Ryan, let's hop in. Let's hop in. And I say the best way to do it is, to the best of my knowledge, this is like sort of my memory at play here. We'll go through the movie and then we can comment on it throughout. And then at the end, I have some other questions and follow-ups and things like that.
Sure.
But we'll just live reaction. So right away, you see what happened to Hawkeye. Because again, famously, Hawkeye, Ant-Man were not in Infinity War. Yep. So we find out with Ant-Man at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp. And then Hawkeye, we get this here. And so it's his wife, Linda Cardellini, and their three kids shooting the old bows and arrows. My first question would be, who wants mayo on their hot dog? Who gets mayo on their hot dog?
I need to know who in that family gets mayo on their hot dog, because that's...
What are we doing?
You deserve the snap if you're putting mayo on your hot dog.
But I'll tell you what, I knew we were out to a great start, because when Hawkeye turns around and you just see the dust of his daughter and then him running around outside, chills. I immediately got chills.
It was an absolute gut punch. And my wife was in tears in the first 3 minutes of the movie.
And you knew it was going to happen.
Yep.
Like, you knew it was going to surprise.
And that's the thing, you knew, but you just didn't. He did that so well.
I got chills thinking about it right now.
And just,
and like the way they did it too, where it wasn't like so in your face, but if you looked for it, you see the dust of his daughter.
Yeah.
And then he runs around like he kind of knows obviously something horrible has happened, and
it's just faint. It's just like you can just barely see it. Which is amazing, but it's clear to me, not to take the piss out of it, but it's clear to me that Hawkeye has a favorite daughter. Mm. He has a favorite kid.
Well, it's favorite kid. Yeah.
He has a favorite kid.
He's got the two sons, but he's teaching her.
Yeah.
But then,
and she's clearly his favorite.
They cut immediately to Dear Mr. Fantasy by Traffic. Perfect song. I wish I could play it, but fucking copyright. I can't.
Copyright, because, you know, the law.
My man Steve Winwood taking you home. I was like, that reminded me of like the guard, because like Guardians of the Galaxy always hit the perfect song at the perfect time.
Yep.
And we haven't always seen that in all the other MCU movies. Like Black Panther had a good soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Ragnarok had a good soundtrack. But this, right out of the gate, I was like, man, we are in for a film here.
And it was just, like I said, just a gut punch that set the tone for like the entire movie.
Oh, it was perfect. And then you jump to Iron Man and Nebula trapped together playing a little paper football.
And it was nice, like in the awfulness of that, to kind of break it up and to have him trying to teach her how to play a game, and he's like, "Hey, you won," and she's like, "I want to do it again." Impossible for her to have fun,
humanizing Nebula, like some of the most that we've seen too. Like we don't normally see her in this way. Mm-hmm. What I also like too is the Captain Marvel end credit scene was not a scene from the movie. It was a scene like for the movie.
Yes.
Like with them, they didn't waste any time. Not that it was a waste of time. It was a cool scene, but the beeper, and then all of a sudden, or the pager or whatever that was. Mm-hmm. And like that scene, we've already seen it. So like, why put it in there again? Cause then the next thing Captain Marvel saves Iron Man and Nebula and like brings them back down to meet up the Avengers. So that was pretty sweet. And as they were like about to die, essentially, like they'd been up there for 3 weeks.
Right. And I think it speaks to, and people who had how did she find them? Like, she clearly was talking to people that were like with or knew where they were going. So she knew where to start. So like, it might have taken her 3 weeks to find them, but she eventually did, you know, as only she can. But like you said, I love the fact that, and this was the beauty of this movie, and I was dying to talk to you about, and I'm glad we're into spoilers now. It was the little things like that. It was the little things like, everything mattered.
Oh yeah.
Everything in 21 movies mattered.
Every single thing. And like they call back, even like the bad movies, they like call back and like give more, even more weight to them.
Yeah. Like the fact that this movie made me want to go watch The Dark World again.
Yeah.
Is genius. I got to go watch that again, because like it had all of those things. Cause I didn't remember, you know, how he reacted when Russo's character, when his mother died.
The Reality Stone being in Jane Foster and all that other stuff.
I didn't remember any of that.
No, that was good. Now, does this help a little bit? Because I was always wondering, like, why didn't they call Captain Marvel sooner? And like, how do they explain that away? And like, I don't know if they really did. But so they ask her when they're in like the Avengers place, they're like, where have you been? And she says, there's a lot of other planets in the galaxy and they don't all have you guys.
Yeah.
So that kind of helps answering that a little bit. Yeah, like she's like, maybe Nick Fury did call her at times. We just didn't see it. And she's like, yeah, you guys have a team. We're out here. I'm doing this myself pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I'm taking care of the rest of the galaxy myself.
Yeah.
And you're just like, whatever, like down here, you're in one. And it the scope of this, how big this actually was, because why are all the superheroes American and why does this stuff only happen in America? Like, what about the rest of the world? Not only the rest of the world, what about the rest of the universe? So now we're dealing with the whole universe, and she's dealing with that herself. And she says at one point, she's like, you might not see me for a while because I'm cleaning all of this up.
I thought that was kind of a cop out. I thought that was one of those ones where, like, I don't think they knew exactly how to use her, because she is so powerful. Right. And she also just teamed up. And when they were filming the movie, they didn't know how successful Captain Marvel was going to be. So that's also kind of a reality here.
So it's kind of like with Infinity War, like Black Panther. Like they didn't know how good or how much people were going to care about that character going into that movie.
And they both are like two of the most popular characters, as it turns out.
Yes.
So then you get the remaining Avengers, they track down Thanos, which is pretty sweet. So like Nebula is like, I know exactly where he's going to be because he's always, mm-hmm. he won't shut up about it. And then so they get there, they find out that he used the stones to destroy the stones.
Right.
And so you see him, he's all a mess and he's like talking shit to him. And then Thor just cuts his head off.
Just cuts it. And like, just so, and even like Rocket, you know, Rocket's like, what did you do? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Cause they're like, this guy could have at least, like, he might have been lying. Like, we could have gotten the information we needed out of him. And so now it just seems like, yeah, they killed Thanos, but it doesn't matter. Cause
well, I think
the world is still missing, or the galaxy is still missing.
I think in the character of Thor being so broken after that, he's like, well, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to get some big satisfaction out of that and then didn't.
And then I'll tell you a surprise for me. And this was intense. And when it was just on the screen, when they went 5 years later.
Yeah.
Cause you're like, all right, so now they're living in it. Like these people have experienced this kind of, and I go back to The Leftovers, one of my favorite shows of all time.
Sure. Sure.
But they lost 2% of the population. Mm-hmm. In that story, 2% disappears. This is 50%. And everybody that survived that lives for another 5 years. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, crazy. It's not 50% of the population. It's 50% of all living things.
Oh, yeah. Dogs, cats. Yeah.
So that's when people come back and you hear like birds.
Yeah.
Like that would be like, that was the first thing I thought. Like, oh my God, the birds are back.
Yeah, right. Like all of a sudden you double the amount of birds. So then Ant-Man escapes out of the quantum realm. And again, I go back to if the Ant-Man or Ant-Man and the Wasp isn't very good, like this whole movie is only works because of Pym particles and the quantum realm.
And it's what's crazy is when we reviewed Ant-Man and the Wasp, I went back and listened to that and we're like, well, it was just like a good palate cleanser Infinity War to whatever. Like, it's just good to like get blah, blah, blah. But now you're like, oh shit. Like no, everything that happened in the key, it matters. Like that whole movie mattered.
Well, and I think that, so the main characters obviously in this one were the six original Avengers, mm-hmm. but if somebody else was close, well, maybe Nebula too, but Ant-Man was so important. He's the one that pitches time travel. He's the one that pitches the time heist.
And without Ant-Man and the Wasp, remember we were talking about how like the quantum, whatever, like it was annoying that they kept like talking about it and like he didn't really understand it, but it's important for them, for Scott Lang to have a rudimentary understanding of like how that works.
Yes.
In order for this to work.
Right.
Like he can't come out of the quantum realm and be like, well, I don't really know how it works. They just put me in there and like whatever. Yeah. Like he understands now how it works.
He understands a bit, not obviously as much as Hank Pym or Janet would know, but like he has an idea and he's like, they're like, oh, that must've been a long 5 years for you. He's like, no, it's 5 hours.
I was in there for five hours.
I was in there for 5 hours, which is nuts. So then all of a sudden there's a couple of scenes in the movie where they're just rattling off all these time travel movies. And it's like Back to the Future. It's like Hot Tub Time Machine. It's like all these, like that's all of our knowledge about it. Cause like, you're not going to say time machine, are you? Like, no. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. It's fine. It's a time machine. And this is what I think people had the biggest problem with, was the continuity of like how time travel actually works. And one of the unintentional bits of humor that I found enjoyable was that nobody understands really how it works. Like even Hulk, even Professor Hulk is like, he couldn't figure it out.
He comes across as not that smart.
Well, he says several times, like, this isn't what I do. Like, I'm a scientist and I kind of, but I do with like radiation and I deal with like theoretical physics and what, but I don't really know time travel. I don't really know how this works.
So they first turn to Iron Man, who's a family man. Now you find out that he's with Pepper Potts and they have a daughter. And then
I'm shaking my head because I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
But do you think Iron Man figured out how to use it? I understand it's a 3-hour movie. You had to wrap it up. You couldn't have him just like miss it. But like I guess he wouldn't have known about the quantum realm, but he figured it out real quick.
Well, I think again, this is kind of like the Game of Thrones thing. Like you don't know how much time passed between their meeting with like him. It's like, you could stay for lunch if you don't talk shop. And then
him
figuring out. I don't think it was that night. I think maybe like a week or two had passed.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not.
He's just like working on it and thinking about it, because there's this unbelievable scene. And I'm just going to say this right now, and this might be a hot take. I know that wearing a cape and like having a costume kind of eliminates you out of contention for this. But I honestly believe that this is some of the best acting that Robert Downey Jr. has ever done.
Like, yeah, I think so. Yeah,
incredible. Incredible in this movie.
I think last movie too, and I know they filmed him back to back, but I think the stuff with him and Spider-Man and Infinity War, even some more of it with him and his daughter in this one, and with Pepper Potts in this one, and the little times with Spider-Man too, I thought he was great. I mean, that's really one of like the sneaky things about the MCU is the quality of actors that they have gotten to be in these movies.
Yeah, and I think
the Brie Larson was like, let's just grab an Oscar winner and throw her in now.
Yeah, like how many, I think we did it. Like how many Oscar winners do you have in this movie?
Yeah, it's a million.
You know, even like with like screenwriters like Jon Favreau, who like won, they won something for Swingers, right?
Swingers, yeah. I think they did, probably writing or whatever.
Yeah, so like it's incredible to me like how overlooked that gets because of the spectacle, because of how like what's going on the screen, that it's easy to get lost, but unbelievable stuff.
So, after Iron Man turns him down initially, they go to Professor Hulk and they have the scene in the diner. This, from some of the people I've talked to, including my guy Wiggy at WEEI, he loves Hulk. He loves crazy, irrational, screaming, pounding stuff Hulk. Yep. He is not a fan of Professor Hulk. So this is one of those characters, like just like Infinity War, if you're a huge Hulk fan, you might be a little disappointed. I actually kind of enjoy Professor Hulk, but I can understand how it's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. And it's one of those things where you want him to go fucking berserk and just like ruin everything. Like you wanted him to punch Thanos in the face and really get him.
Right.
And that Hulk isn't there, you know? No, and it was great when they showed the scene from, was it 2004? Was no 2014.
14.
With Avengers and him. You had like the one Hulk going crazy and him like jumping on a car and smushing somebody. And then Bruce Banner's like slowly taking his shirt off. Yeah. He's like, and like throwing.
Was actually pretty funny.
But to have him like side by side like that was actually really funny.
The trials on Ant-Man were pretty good, where he comes back as like a baby. He comes back as like, and like when Hulk's just like, yeah, you're all set. Like, you know, we don't want you to like disappear or whatever. And then Black Widow's like, hell, he's joking. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
He's like,
the line of the movie, somebody peed my pants.
Yeah. That was pretty good. One of the best action scenes. Oh, we talked about how there wasn't like a lot of action. So cut to, we get a good look at Ronan. Yes. And I also love the setup to Ronan too, because they were talking about, you know, there's like these cartels like are all just getting wiped out, and War Machine and Black Widow know exactly who it is, but they got to track this guy down, and they eventually do. But that was some of the best stuff. Like Ronan with like the swords and everything. Like that was sick.
I think he got cheated a little bit too, because his motivation for doing this was like one line. And I think it was said in Japanese, which it kind of, not that against anything about the Japanese language, which I love, but like the fact that he said like half the population got disappeared and you got to stay. That was his whole motivation is like, this happened to my family and you scumbags are still here.
Yeah.
Like I can't stand. And that was his whole motivation for the thing. And like, I thought that was great. Like, yeah, I thought that was like the perfect motivation for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's basically the Punisher now.
Yeah. That's like, awesome. Yeah. A Punisher with swords and bows and arrows instead of guns. Like that was sweet. Mm-hmm. So that was a good scene. And then, so they're all splitting up. They're looking for the rest of the team. So Hulk and Rocket.
Yeah.
Going to
great
find
team.
Thor.
Great team, by the way.
First of all, great Hulk, Rocket, bringing those guys together. When they go and find Thor, one of the great reveals of the whole movie, Fat Thor.
I love Fat Thor.
Fat Thor's amazing. And he's hanging out with Corgan Meek. Thank God.
Thank God.
We are here. We got our guy. Corgan Meek.
Yeah. And it's funny because like you don't know they're there because, you know, they're looking for Thor and they're going around the house and they're kind of like, Thor. They're like calling for him. And then they talk to Fat. They see Fat Thor.
Amazing.
And then all of a sudden you hear the voice like off screen and they pan over and they're like sitting on the fucking couch playing video games.
Playing Fortnite.
Unbelievable. Playing Fortnite.
Korg goes, beers in the bucket. Feel free to sign into the Wi-Fi. I can't do a Korg, but unbelievable. And then he's like, Thor, he's back.
He's called me a dickhead.
Noob Master 69. And then Thor screams at him. And then Korg takes the headset back and goes, thank you, Thor.
He's like, he's back. He's calling me a dickhead.
He's going, that could not have been better. We were praying for Korg and Meek.
And Meek's just sitting there eating pizza.
Was he eating pizza like out of several holes? Like he had like several mouths, I think.
Yeah, he was just eating pizza. Those guys, they need a show where it's just like them in that house.
It's like, so that's good.
Yeah.
They're just playing for it. Like he's got the Korg with the headset on playing, and then Meek's just watching him.
Yeah.
Eating pizza. My God. Eating pizza. And then Rocket tells Thor that he looks like melted ice cream,
which is I think I'm going to start using that, which that's is great.
That's a good burn. Yeah. All right. So then this is pretty cool. So the Avengers are now, they decided they're going to do the time heist and they're going to seek out all of the stones because they realize as a group, they all have experience with them, or at least know where they would be at certain times.
Yes.
And then obviously they need the Pym particles. So that's obviously very important as well. But one of my other favorite scenes in the entire movie is when they're in the conference room and like they're up there like talking about where the stones are, and yep. Thor gets up and it's like he's doing a book report and he's like describing that. He's like, "Hi, I'm Thor." Like they all already know who he is. And then he's describing what the reality stone is. And he's like, "And then there were these dark elves." Ooh. And he's like, "Here's Jane Foster. She's an old flame of mine."
And everyone's giving him like the cut, like, stop.
Like, Iron Man's like, sit down. He's like, I'm not through. But that was amazing. Like, yeah. it was like such an overshare. It's like, we're not even looking for this. Yeah. Like, do you know where it is or not? And he just like goes through the whole thing. It was awesome. Yeah,
that was funny.
Then you get so it's also kind of funny too, because finally Black Widow's the one that realizes, she's like, hey, if we go to New York, half of them are in New York.
Yeah, at one time, they're all there.
It's a bit of a stretch, but whatever. That's what we're playing with. So Hulk, Captain America, Iron Man, Ant-Man go to 2012 New York.
Yes.
And pretty good little tip of the cap, too, to the comics. Remember when Captain America turned Hydra and everybody lost their minds in the actual Marvel comics?
Yes.
And then so for him to do, like, really cool how they did all these scenes, like going back to all of these movies and then having those events take place. But then, like, Cap dropping a Hail Hydra on him, and then Cap also when he had his mirror match with himself,
which I thought my least favorite scene in the movie, by the way.
I didn't mind it when he was like, Bucky's alive, and he's like, wait, what? Because like that would be one thing to get him to stop, because at that point he didn't know that Bucky was alive.
Yes.
I thought that was a cool little tie-in.
And like the whole thing with the cut, just show him the cut. I didn't like it because it just felt lame to me.
Yeah.
Like what would have been better is if he called in on the thing and he's like, I spotted Loki, because he thinks it's Loki, because the only other person who could look like him.
Yeah.
And the other Cap just running with it and be like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, be like, oh, and like convince him that he's Loki. Kind of instead of like doing like the mirror match fight thing, like,
because I could do this all day.
He's like, yeah, I know. He's like, I know. Don't say that. Yeah. But then the line with that is America's ass. Like, that's pretty funny line.
America's ass is good.
Yeah.
Hulk is trying to get the time stone. And so he goes and talks to the Ancient One. And I thought that was actually a pretty cool scene, because he's like, I'm here for Doctor Strange. And she's like, oh, you're 5 years early. Like, just that kind of stuff is pretty cool.
But it was great that like she knew why he was there.
Yeah, but she didn't know at first like what Strange had sacrificed, and that he knows Strange.
Yeah.
Like, she just thought he was after the stone, so she's like, no,
by the way,
what happened?
Let's talk about the fact that they brought fucking Rumlow back. They brought Crossbones back.
Where was Crossbones?
He was in the elevator when they brought him back. Like the fact that that level of detail.
Crazy.
And they did you thought they were going to do the elevator fight again, like a different movie.
I really thought they were going elevator fight.
And then he lands in and tells Rumlow, Hail Hydra. And he's like, all right. Like, you thought that was going to go down in the elevator again, and it didn't.
Unbelievable.
Because it didn't happen there.
Yeah. So Cap gets the Mind Stone.
Yeah.
And now it's up to Iron Man and Ant-Man to get the Space Stone. Does not happen. Does not go down the way they want. Because they made Hulk take the stairs. That's ultimately why it didn't work. And then what's interesting here, Davey, is Loki gets it and then disappears. And so Loki, for those wondering, he's still alive.
Now he's alive.
He's alive on that timeline. So I don't know where he is, but 2012 Loki is gone and he has the stone.
But that sets up his show.
Exactly.
Now that gives him a whole show, because that's now in a different timeline.
Right. And so now what they have to do is they need to go even further back in order to get the same stone, because they missed their opportunity there. Yes. So they go back to 1970, Captain America and Iron Man do. And I got to give Goo credit from our preview episode.
Mm-hmm.
Goo said they're going to be doing a ton of time travel. Correct. He said that Tony Stark and Howard Stark were going to have a long conversation. Correct.
Goostradamus.
Goostradamus nailed it. And by the way, there was a quick Stan Lee cameo here. I 100% thought it was Mark Maron.
You did look like Mark Maron.
Because they like,
and he almost sounded like him too.
Yeah, because he had like one line and they de-aged him. I'm like, is that Mark Maron? Like, no, it's Stan Lee.
Yeah.
So now Rocket and Thor, this is the scene we were just talking about before. So they go to Asgard 2013 looking for the Reality Stone. And I actually really enjoyed – the scene with Rene Russo coming up to Thor, and similar to the Ancient One, she's like, oh, the future hasn't been good to you. And he's like, what do you mean? And she's like, I've been raised by witches. She's like,
I know who you are.
You're not going to surprise. Like, I get it. Like, I thought that was actually really cool. And then Rocket going after Natalie Portman with the,
which I made the joke to you. I'm like, you know, how do you convince Natalie Portman to like do be in this movie? And it's like, they probably used extra footage from the Dark World that they didn't use before.
Probably. Yeah.
But she's like, my joke was like, well, I'm not getting out of bed for anything other under 5 mil. And they're like, well, funny you should say that, because that's literally all we need you to do. It's like just that film where you sit up and get out of bed and that's it. You know, and we don't even need to show Rocket putting that thing in your butt or whatever that thing was. Don't even need to show it. It's just him going into the room and him running out of the room.
Yeah. Like, 'cause I was like, man, I thought she was done with these movies, but yeah, she probably was.
Yeah.
Ryan, how about 2014 Hawkeye, Black Widow,
mm-hmm,
go to Vormir looking for the Soul Stone. And my one thought was, wouldn't they know what? Because they knew that Thanos went there with Gamora and Gamora didn't make it back. So I guess they didn't know that it was a sacrifice.
I don't think they did, though, because neither one of them was with. One of them left Earth to know that who Gamora was. They didn't know who she was.
No, but like Nebula had told them that, right? Because Nebula, yes, she was there with them. So she knew that Gamora didn't make it out of there. But I guess she just didn't put the connection together. Like maybe he got the stone and then just killed her rather than like he needed to kill her to get the stone.
Nobody knew.
Yeah. Okay.
Nobody knew exactly what happened.
So maybe it's somewhat convenient, because if you sent any other duo there, there's not that love. Like you have to lose one that you love.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I still thought the scene was amazing. So you get the Red Skull again.
Yep.
And then the two of them deciding and like literally fighting each other over who's going to go. Like that was really good.
That was really good. And a wonderful scene. Like, because I know Jeremy Renner was very vocal about the first Avengers and stuff, like how he was dissatisfied with his character. But to have that, such a, he's the one who gets the Soul Stone. Like, he's the one who becomes incredibly important to this whole thing, which is great for that character and great for him, I think.
Yeah, no, I thought that was pretty well done. And then also in 2014, you go to Morag, Nebula and War Machine, and basically it's the beginning of Guardians 1. Mm-hmm. And they see Peter Quill, they're going after the Power Stone. So they do get the stone, but then Nebula is trapped in 2014, which leads to Thanos getting her future memories. And then you get old switcheroo. And again, Nebula becomes, like, without her, there is no movie. Like, she is so important, like, because you don't get that Thanos from 2014 into 2023 and all that stuff, you know? So, like, that was all pretty crazy.
I also loved seeing the Peter Quill scene of him dancing in it, like out of the headphones. So like you could see it, like singing, people watching him do it and singing like completely off key. And like,
that was good.
It was like completely silent. I thought that was, and then like, she's just, this guy's just an idiot.
Yes.
Which he is.
He's like, yes.
You know, he is. Yeah.
So then you get another emotional scene, because they all come back from their missions with the exception of Black Widow, and Hulk says, Clint, where's Nat? And, you know, he's distraught. And then it cuts to the five remaining original Avengers. Mm-hmm. And they're all kind of mourning the loss. Thor's like in denial. He's like, we just get the stones. We just get the stones. So we're going to be fine. Yeah. And they're like, no. She's gone for real. Which, again, I think was important, because you can't have one of the catchphrases of the movie be whatever it takes. And have nobody die. Like, you just can't.
So that's the first real death of this movie.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, it's only going to get worse from here. Like, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Like, you knew somebody else or multiple people were still going to go. The other thing is, so Hulk and Thor create a new gauntlet. And so that's another one of those ones where you got to sort of let again, it's a superhero movie. So your level of whatever disbelief is up pretty high. But they were able to whip together a gauntlet pretty good. And then Hulk is able to use it, which is pretty
cool. They didn't need to go to Peter Dinklage to get it.
Thank God, because that would have eaten up another 50 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So then you get past Nebula with present Nebula, who, by the way, is 2023, is the present time now.
So here's the thing. So like, all the movies now going to be set in the near future? They have to be, right? So far from Spider-Man Far From Home has to be set in 2023.
I would assume so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah.
But half the people there are going to be the same age they were in 2018.
Right. Some are going to be older. Some are. Yeah.
I did think it was good how Thanos kind of changed his goal. Cause I really wasn't sure if he was going to be the villain again. Mm-hmm. And it was him and it was old Nebula, but yeah. Thanos really, he kind of changed his goal. Cause he was like, obviously wiping out 50% didn't work. If you guys are going to go and kill me,
you're just going to do this.
So now I'm just going to start over. Cause that was also one of those things where, so it's like 14 Thanos got up to speed pretty quick to realize that, hey, what I wanted to do, I did it.
Yeah.
And yet they killed me and they're trying to bring people back.
Which is such a cool
kind of a mind fuck too.
Like a MacGuffin to have like that, that Nebula is the one that kind of sets this whole thing up. And it's like him using present day Nebula's memories from in 2014 Nebula, because their consciousness is linked.
Because of like, because of the you know,
because science. But right. he can see everything that happened through her eyes. So he knows who everybody is. He knows exactly what happened and what has happened the last 5 years.
So I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
So 2014 Thanos ends up being the villain here towards the end.
Yes.
2018 is when Infinity War happened.
Yes.
So in 2014, did Thanos really have that kind of army already ready to go, you think?
Well, I think he was, remember, Loki was answering to him in the first Avengers.
Yeah.
Loki actually goes and talks to him. And I think he was the one who like lent him his army. And he's like, it's saying but, like he can take care of it and he would give him the stones.
So here's another logistics question is the final like major fight scene, which we're about to talk about, that takes place in 2023.
Yes.
So how did Thanos's 2014 entire army show up there? Yeah.
Ooh.
And I got to watch this movie again.
I got to watch it again because that's a good question.
Because I can understand with the because they stole some of the Pym particles, so I can understand Nebula, Gamora, and Thanos getting
there. He's got those. And I know, but the ship goes through like they. How do they figure out how to time travel?
That's what I'm saying. It's like they were able to get that.
And maybe because Nebula saw it.
Yeah, you're right.
So Nebula knows how to do it.
That's probably why they zoomed in on Nebula. There you go.
Yeah.
Like, we just solved it.
Whatever she knows, they know.
So now let's get to the big battle scene. So the crazy battle scene, and at one point it's just Captain America. And when he tightens up his shield, and he's like, here we go. And it's literally one versus like a million at this point.
Yep.
That was fucking badass.
That's badass. It was reminiscent of the Battle of the Bastards when all the horses are running at Jon Snow and you see him like take the sword out and he's like, all right, let's go.
It's game time.
And then there's a line, and this line absolutely killed me. And I told you this last night off air, but I was like, you have Sam Falcon come out over the radio. And he says, "Hey, Cap, on your left."
If you remember from
Winter Soldier,
right.
The very first thing that Captain America says to Sam is when they're running around the monument, and he says, "Hey, on your left."
He kept lapping him like so many times.
So those are the things that were like, you know. And people had this huge problem with like time travel and how it didn't make sense and blah blah blah. But like to me, like that's not the thing. The thing was this love letter to everything they've done up until this point and putting a bow on every single thing. And they fucking did it. And this battle scene, bringing everyone together, back together again from all different. So you had people from Wakanda. You had Asgardians fighting. Mm-hmm. You had like all these people from all these movies back.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And like you said, you hear Falcon first, then you see the portal open, and at that point it's Chills City again.
Yeah,
like you're getting chills, and first walks out Black Panther, Okoye, Shuri,
and you're like, yeah,
and
they,
you're like, oh my god. Then Falcon comes flying out.
Mm-hmm.
Then like Doctor Strange opens his own portal,
and he's got all the wizards with him.
All the wizards, like Wong, the Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man swoops up, gets people going. You see Bucky. You actually see Korg. You see Scarlet Witch. You see Wasp. You see Pepper Potts, who's now in a suit. I believe they call it Rescue, right?
Yep.
Ant-Man is Giant Man. And so they're all lined up. And then Captain America says, "Avengers, assemble." I ruined pants that I wasn't even wearing. I was like, can we get a mop in, for the row in front of me and the row behind me?
Yeah.
It came out both ends.
You were like a sprinkler. You spit.
They actually paused the movie where I was. Like they said, yeah, they never do that, but they were like, just for everybody in here, we need to pause the movie. Because then,
they did that shot where they were like, and it's such a famous Marvel shot.
Yes.
Like, so you're facing everybody, and then they start running, and they pan the camera, so everyone's like running from left to right.
Yeah.
And you get everybody in one shot, and you're like,
God damn it.
Awesome.
Awesome is right.
Awesome.
And then it ends up being like a gauntlet hot potato. Like, Black Panther's running with it. Like, Spider-Man has it. Like, they're all kind of running with it. They're fighting Thor, and when Captain America got, or when they're fighting Thanos, I mean, and when he is able to control the hammer,
yeah,
again, I didn't have any fluids left in me, but they were all gone again.
Oh, and it was awesome. So Mjolnir is how you say that, the name of the
Mjolnir.
Yeah, is how you say that. Yeah. I was listening to, not to shout them out too much, but I was listening, I was giving Mac and Goo a hard time because they pronounced Mjolnir 6 different ways in like 5 minutes.
Well, one of them had to be right.
One of them had to be right.
You just keep throwing it out there.
But then what was awesome too is when Thor, he's like, no, you take the little one. Like, I got this one. Yeah, you take the little one. Yeah. But he's dual wielding it and like throwing one and hitting him with, like, that was so cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. But remember, like, that's a callback to, was it Ultron, when they're trying to move it. And then
and he moved
that
it,
moment, he moved it a little bit.
And Thor was like,
And so people thought that him coming clean in Civil War about Tony's dad, and like clearing his conscience of that, that's what made him worthy. So again, it's a callback to another movie.
Always.
You know, so that was incredible.
I liked the, Scarlet Witch squaring off with Thanos. She got some good blows in. Obviously didn't take him
down.
And
a good line. He's like, I don't even know who you are. And he's like, she's like, you will.
You will.
You know, that was a great line.
What'd you think of the all female scene?
It was awesome. I think for, they've done a better job than anybody of making sure that they do things the right way. And not so much that it's like hit you over the head, but just a nice little tip of the cap to like the filmmakers and everybody involved, just really hammering home the importance of like representation, you know?
Yeah. And it let's face it. It took them a while,
but they were like,
'cause Black Widow was in the Avengers, but she never got a standalone movie. And then we didn't get a woman's name in the title until The Wasp, and it was sort of an and. And then finally, like the 21st movie was Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden you realize, like, wait a minute, we have a whole bunch of women here.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like to me, I don't want to say they shoehorned it in, but it was like, we have a lot of things we need to do in 3 hours. And so there was like these little like one-offs of like Spider-Man and Iron Man. You guys need to talk real quick. And then we need like you two to talk real quick. And then we need like, oh, here's going to be a cool shot. And then like, keep going. Like,
yeah. So like the other one I that springs to mind too, is like Quill, like Star-Lord and Gamora coming face to face again. And then being like, okay. And she like kicks him in the nuts.
Yeah.
There's a funny line. And then they move on, you know? So it's like, and there's that little scene at the end where he's searching for her and she could be gone.
Yeah, so we'll get to mm-hmm. where she's going to be coming up. So also towards the end of the movie, Iron Man, of course, uses the gauntlet. He dies. Right before that, though, another emotional scene. Pepper goes up. She drops a, Tony, we're going to be okay. You can rest now.
And that was a line. That's so it. She said to him at the beginning of the movie, she's like, he's like, I could throw this thing at the bottom of the lake. We can go to bed and go to sleep. And she said, but you won't rest.
Right. Like, exactly.
But will you rest? And it just like little scenes like that, that just like, and for as much shit as people give Gwyneth Paltrow in her personal life, like she's been a great addition to this cast. She's a great Pepper Potts, you know? So, that which kind of grounded Tony and, you know, stuff like that. But
then you get the funeral scene, of course. And you see everybody, like everybody now, no Gamora. We'll talk about that, but they're all grouped up. You know, even Nick Fury's there, like everybody is there for.
And the one I loved, I had to ask you guys to make sure, because I'm like, I think that's that kid.
Yes.
There's a kid standing by himself. And it's been 8 years since we've seen, 7 years since we've seen
Iron Man 3. Yeah, same
kid. Harley from Iron Man 3. He looks way different now.
But it's the same kid, though.
But it's the same kid.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Which was and that was the best. I think that was the best part of Iron Man 3 was his interaction with that kid.
Ugh, the kid annoyed the shit out of me.
I thought it was great. but
oh, you're wrong.
Well, that movie was kind of trash.
I hated that movie. I hated it.
But at least it's important. Like,
but no, I have no problem with it. Yeah. And it explained Iron Man and all like the PTSD that he was facing really like after right. Avengers and everything.
And so. I think what this boils down to is this is like becomes a, because people, you know, motherfuck the whole time travel thing and it doesn't make any sense and blah, blah, blah. But like this, all of this is just a morality play with like Tony Stark as the head. Well, with like this character coming to this realization that like you need to, and I think his father says in this, we kind of glazed over it, but this important conversation that he has with his father, and his father talks about how he doesn't really do anything that doesn't benefit him. He doesn't do anything that doesn't benefit him.
Right.
And Tony coming to that realization that like, I'm not going to try to save my own ass at this point. You know, it has to be me. You know, I'm Iron Man. And that's the last thing he says is I'm Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know?
It is pretty crazy. And like Iron Man and Captain America, these are the guys. Like it's this movie is essentially Iron Man 5 or 5.5.
Right. Yeah.
And like Captain America 4, you know, they have been the main two. I mean, hell, Civil War was about these two.
Yes.
And they each had their own movies. And this was in this movie, you finally see, because even at the beginning, they were still at odds. Like they were still mad. They were still holding on to shit.
Yeah.
And they finally kind of had like a role reversal, right? Where like Captain America goes back and like lives his life and he like kind of like lives it almost like Iron Man would. And then Iron Man kind of gets what Captain America would do. Like he would sacrifice himself for this. Mm-hmm. Now, again, if you're looking at like the logistics of all this, I find it hard to believe that Captain America could go back in time, put all the stones back and then live a life in that timeline and then show up at that exact moment on that exact
So the last thing he gives is the time stone, right? That would be the last. If that were to happen, he would have to have kept the time stone. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So here's what you do. He goes back to like 1945, right? And gets married to Peggy Carter and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because remember, Hulk says like, how long is this going to take? And he's like, it could take him however long it takes him. But for us, it's going to be 5 seconds.
Right. So he lived.
And he returned the time stone in like 2014.
But is he still, was he ever Captain America?
Yeah. So he was Captain America probably that entire time.
I don't get it. Because like, then how old is he now?
He's going to be like in his 80s or 90s.
Like 90s. He was in like World War II and this is, it's now 2023.
But you remember he doesn't age like everybody else ages.
No, that's true.
And so,
but he was pretty old looking.
And the other thing too, is like, he could have held on to the times as long as he brought it back to 2014.
Yeah.
So he could have lived his entire life and given it back in 2014 and everything's fine.
That's a mind fuck.
And then also,
all right, well, I got a bunch of questions here. We'll get to you. So, Scarlet Witch and Hawkeye, they're in mourning. Spider-Man's now back at school. And this one's kind of confusing. So he's back at school. Ned is back at school. That would have to mean that Ned also got snapped away.
Would have to, yeah, because they're both because all the other high kids, school.
All the other kids would have graduated by now.
Right.
All right. So that's kind of confusing.
So all the kids in that high school are all kids who got snapped.
Yeah.
Or they're like, yeah.
Or they're
younger.
They were in like fifth grade that didn't get snapped.
Right.
Ant-Man and the Wasp are together with Ant-Man's daughter, Cassie. So that's nice.
And that was an awesome scene when he knocked on the door or like rang the doorbell.
That was really good.
I'm sad that the actress who played Cassie and Ant,
she was so cute.
She's unbelievable. Yeah. And she's unbelievable. She wasn't able to be old enough to be in that movie. But
what do you think about Falcon now being the new Captain America?
So it would have had to have been either him or Bucky.
Right.
And I think it's a better choice.
I like it with Falcon. Although I thought Falcon was a pretty cool like character on his own, but Captain America's cooler.
But both of those characters, both Bucky and Sam, have in the comics have been Captain America. So I think Sam is the longest. So it's a good choice.
Let's see. Valkyrie is now leading the Asgardians.
The new Asgardians. Yeah.
No surprise. And then I love how Thor is joined up with the Guardians and it's the Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Which actually is a comic run.
That's a good stuff.
And so I say make that movie and let Gunn and Waititi just like let them loose and just do whatever they want.
I think so.
Because there's characters from Thor in that comic. So the Destroyer, which you saw in the original Thor, he's one of the Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Awesome.
Scourge, played by Cal Urban.
Oh, yeah, Cal Urban.
Is an Asgardian of the Galaxy. And the character Thunderstrike,
okay,
which is like a little Thor.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
could just make that Thor and just have the Asgardians of the Galaxy. Like that would be pretty sweet.
That could work.
Yeah,
Ryan, that is the movie. So I have a bunch of other things here. So
yep.
the characters who are like officially dead.
Yes,
Iron Man, Black Widow, Vision, who didn't even really hit on. Scarlet Witch was pissed about that, and then Thanos, right? Like those four are for sure gone.
Yes.
Is there any, if Cap puts all of the stones back where they took them from, mm-hmm. is there anything stopping somebody else coming along and doing what Thanos did?
No.
I mean, you got to obviously be somebody like Thanos in order now, to pull it off. But
back in this timeline now, the stones still exist.
Yeah.
Or they're still out there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know.
Oof. So here's some of the, I don't even know if these are nitpicks or questions. Again, we both gave it rock hard six. So uh-huh. it's just, you know, we like to pick it apart a little bit here. A couple of things I think could be at stake here with Gamora.
Yes.
So 2018 Gamora is dead. So mm-hmm. the Gamora who experienced Guardians 1 and 2, dead. That Gamora yeah. is not coming back. Mm-hmm. The Gamora from the very beginning of Guardians 1, who hadn't met Peter Quill yet, that one I think is alive. Now, maybe she got snapped away.
I think she might have got snapped away.
Because it might have been like she was on the bad side.
She would have had to have because...
But I don't think so because she... Nebula had sort of convinced her otherwise. Like, I think Nebula convinced her that, hey, like, let's help this side. So I think she was good. I just think she's like, I don't know these people. So I think she's somewhere in the world. But, 2014 Gamora is in 2023 somewhere.
But the whole thing with... like her, like the reason Black Widow can't come back is because of how she died. And Gamora died the same way. So
no, but that was one Gamora though. That was 2018 Gamora.
I think this Gamora got snapped. I think she's gone.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Because she hasn't turned good yet.
Yeah, but 2014. No, she kind of did though.
She kind of did.
Because Nebula yeah. did. Like, remember, and they killed old Nebula. So new Nebula yeah. was sort of like vouching for Gamora. And that's why you got the scene where Peter Quill kisses her and she kicks him in the nuts.
So since there's a Star Trek called The Search for Spock, is it Star Trek 3, the movie? Yeah. The Search for Spock? Does Guardians 3 become The Search for Gamora?
That's what it feels like to me, yes.
That's now, somehow you're going to bring Adam Warlock into that too.
Yeah, yeah. That I think could work.
So maybe Adam Warlock's the one who figures out how to undo all that. I don't know.
Could be. I think she's around. Another question I have. If Fat Thor,
mm-hmm.
2023 Thor, goes back to 2013 and grabs the hammer,
mm-hmm.
does that mean that the Thor that was there doesn't have a hammer anymore?
I read this on the internet. Someone explained...
Because I would feel like he wouldn't have it.
No, he wouldn't have it. But like, I forget what they said. But like, basically, like he went back at like, oh fuck.
Yeah. All right.
Like how it was explained, but like it wasn't that good of an explanation. But I can't. Right. It wasn't good enough for me to remember. Let's put it that all right. way.
All right. So the best parts to me were in no particular order: Korg and Meek playing Fortnite.
That was awesome. Yep.
The opening Hawkeye scene.
Yes.
The Captain America, it looks like he's going to take everybody on, and then Falcon jumps in his ear.
Yep.
When Cap gets control of the hammer,
mm-hmm.
Ronan, anything with Ronan.
Yep.
When Hawkeye and Black Widow, that whole scene on Vormir is good. Oh, I also like, before they take the ship, Hawkeye was going to take Rocket ship, and he says to him, he's like, promise me you'll bring this back. And Hawkeye goes, yeah, I'll do the best I can. And Rocket goes, as far as promises go, that was pretty lame. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Captain America has America's ass. Those were, I think, some of the best.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the last battle scene was amazing. I thought that was, everybody was in it, which is incredible. Seeing the old characters in new scenes, like Rumlow, and like seeing Quill from the back when he's doing that whole dance routine.
That was really cool.
It made and somehow making even the seemingly insignificant interactions and details of movies important.
Yeah,
so now you. All of the, like tying that to me,
you want to see all the movies again.
Is the success of this movie.
Yeah.
Fuck the whole thing. Like, if you have a problem with like how time travels works, like again, this, and I know what's going to come back and bite me. What's going to come back and bite me is like Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is going to forever be the monkey on my back, because I'm like, how the fuck do you do this? And they're like, it's a movie about dinosaurs, Ryan. Like, it's a movie about dinosaurs who come back to life. Like, leave it. But like, this is not, time travel is not the point of this movie. The point of this movie is the morality play of Tony Stark and Steve Rogers and sending them off the right way. And in order to do that, you need to tie up all of these things, which you did.
But you know what I'm shocked about? Like what they allowed to happen. And I actually like this more than what I thought was going to happen, is that all the people who are alive right now remember losing half the population.
Right. Cause they said in one point, like, don't change it. Like when Hulk did his snap, they're like, don't change anything.
Don't bet on sports.
Yeah. And but they said, don't change anything from the past 5 years. Just bring everyone back.
Yeah.
Like, don't go back and erase it.
They know. And I think what will be interesting, and I hope they get into it in Spider-Man Far From Home, but is for those people that were turned to ash, what was that experience like? And even if it only felt like it was 5 hours, what were you doing for five hours?
And Spider-Man, well, Peter Parker says that. He's like, I blacked out and then you left. And then Dr. Strange woke me up and told me we had to go. Yeah. So like, they just remember blacking out.
Crazy.
Which is kind of cool. And that, again, that's a little throwaway line, but it explains so much.
It does. And that's why I want to watch it again, because I'm sure there's a lot of lines that sort of help with all that. Who would you say is the MVP? Like, you've always made the point, these are like all-star games. So who would the all-star game MVP be, or even some of the other ones that were close?
So top five characters I had in order, Tony Stark.
Yep.
Captain America.
Yeah.
Professor Hulk.
Oh, interesting.
Ant-Man.
He was great.
Fat Thor. Personal MVP.
I love hearts. Fat Thor. Fat Thor is great. Yeah. I want Captain America 1. I want Captain America number 1. I guess I'd have to go Iron Man then 2.
Mm-hmm.
Thor. Fat Thor, I'm with you. Thor 3. Believe it or not, I've never been a huge fan. Hawkeye. I'm going Hawkeye 4. The Hawkeye scenes and the Ronin scenes.
Yes.
And the very beginning of the movie. Like, I got him 4. And then this is cheating, but you could have a pretty good tie for 5. Like Black Widow, this might have been the best Black Widow
we've ever seen. And she was holding them all together the entire time.
She was incredible.
Yeah.
And then let's face it, Nebula and Ant-Man, as far as the non-original Avengers were concerned, were super important. Like they were awesome.
And the one person who I think if you gave an LVP.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily this character's fault, but I needed more Captain Marvel in this movie than I got.
Yeah, right. Because all the ones that got snapped away, you sort of give a pass to. Like, unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of good Drax. I thought Rocket was a little underused. Like, he's so good. And like, he still had a few lines. Also, that scene when Rocket was sitting there and he was holding, was it Nebula's hand, like outside?
Yeah.
Like, they do a good job of making even that. Like, it's a fucking raccoon and you're like getting kind of choked up.
What was that line? They were like, "I've been talking to a raccoon this entire time." I don't believe it.
Emails from a raccoon, like nothing.
Yeah.
<me. laughs> Now, believe it or not, no Daredevil.
Oh, believe it, yeah. No Kingpin.
I'll get off of that.
Where was Luke Cage?
I wanted to start the thing being like the final battle. I swear I saw Iron Fist. But
if we started that rumor, like that would have been awesome. If we're like, if you look really closely, you can see Iron Fist.
Jessica Jones is out there.
Or no, even better, you can see Colleen Wing. Like she's back there. Yeah. If you look at the all women shot, like there's a little speck in the back, and that's Colleen Wing.
And we had sort of kicked around whether or not they would try to introduce or reference like the X-Men or the Fantastic Four or anything. They didn't, and that's really for the best. Like, they didn't need to. This is its own story, I think.
Yeah, I think that's coming. And
it will.
I know exactly when it's going to happen.
All right, so what's next for the MCU? Spider-Man Far From Home comes out July 2nd, and that will be the official end of Phase 3, all three phases are known as the Infinity Saga.
Yes, and I'm told by a reputable source that this is the last movie that will have the word Avengers in it.
How about that?
Or the Avengers.
There could be about new Avengers.
I got another thing in next thing on the outline.
All right. So the only other movie, and I know we've heard rumors about Doctor Strange 2, Black Panther 2, Guardians 3, all these ones. The only other one that is officially on there, like the Wikipedia, like in development after Spider-Man Far From Home, is Shang-Chi.
Which, and I'm glad you brought this up, because with the new Captain America, so there was a set of people called the Secret Avengers.
Yes.
And Shang-Chi is one of them.
Yes, that's like Kung Fu Master, right?
Right. So in this group, it's run by Captain America, which could be Falcon. You have Black Widow. Beast.
Oh.
Valkyrie. Agent 13, which is Sharon Carter.
Yep.
War Machine.
Okay.
Ant-Man.
Well, the
Nova.
Oh, I like Nova.
And Moon Knight.
Moon Knight.
Yep. So those are all the secret Avengers. So you actually set this up with Shang-Chi.
Pair of pants if they get Moon Knight.
Yeah. So if Shang-Chi's involved now we can start the secret Avengers.
Yeah.
And so that's, there you go.
Now there's also the Disney Plus series that have been announced. That is the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which they could probably change it to Captain America and the Winter Soldier now.
They could, yeah.
WandaVision, which I don't know how they're going to pull off
this Scarlet Knight
Vision show without Vision. There's also going to be a Loki show, which we already talked about. He's still around doing something. Yep. He's alive. And Hawkeye.
Which is going to be Kate Bishop. But Jeremy Renner is going to be in it.
Cool.
So I think he hangs him up after this as Hawkeye. Now, what do we do? So the other thing that I was going to bring up too is like this Black Widow standalone movie has been in development for a long time.
Prequel.
It's a prequel?
No.
Or
that'd be my guess.
Or is there a new Black Widow?
And could be a new Black Widow. And by the way, it's comic books, so nobody's ever really dead.
No one's ever really dead. As we found out from Star Wars, from sci-fi, and
they
from
bring
comic
them all
books.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll give away a few more tickets if you guys want to go see this again. We'll probably just do it on Twitter at some point. So follow along at Dork Podcast. Ryan, do you have any other thoughts on Avengers Endgame, which by the way, we probably will do more podcasts on this, but do you have any more thoughts for today?
I do, but we don't have time.
Okay.
I have so many more thoughts and feelings about this movie. I just don't have time.
So next week we are for sure going to do Game of Thrones season 8, episode 4. We'll stream that live immediately after the episode on YouTube with me, Davey, and Shime Time Bebe. We might do an Endgame follow-up next week, or maybe we'll just even wait till Thrones is over, but we'll certainly get to it at some point.
I need to see it again.
I need to see it again too. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. Let us know, guys. I already opened it up and a bunch of you have emailed us, which is great. dorkpodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet us, you can DM us if you don't want to spoil it for anybody, at Dork Podcast. Check us out on YouTube. The ratings and the reviews are all great as well on iTunes. Yep. Davey, where can the people get after you?
At Arvon D on any and all social medias. Just come, you know, if you got any questions or people have been great about reaching out. I've been a lot of people sliding into my DMs to talk about Endgame and stuff, which is fine. Nothing inappropriate, which is lovely.
Keep it clean, would you?
Keep it clean. People have been very positive with us recently, which is nice.
Yeah. It's nice to talk this out too, I think.
Yeah.
You know, talk out the Endgame. Mm-hmm. Talk out Game of Thrones.
And we do respond. I know I do. Respond to these things. So feel free to reach out.
I say in lieu of the pick of the podcast this week, just there's 22 MCU movies you can watch. So
yeah, man,
go give those a go. I am fascinated by Far From Home. Maybe we'll even do like a to expect from that movie going forward.
And I think someone said it's, I forget who the director was. It Mark Webb? No, not Mark Webb. John, I forget the name of the director, was like, the tone of this movie is that, you know, Peter Parker just wants to be back and being a kid again. And they're like, no, dude, like, we need you to, like, you're not a kid. Yeah. You need to step up and you need to kind of take the reins here.
Sorry. Yeah. You gotta get going here. So I'm excited for that one, but we could always take a real breath. So again, let us know. I think it would be a good idea to do like a whole email episode just on Endgame. I think that'll be a lot of fun, or email and tweets and stuff like that. So
yep, we already have some. So
yeah, we got a bunch, but go ahead and get them in there and we'll do it at some point. So anything to sign off with, Ryan?
No, just a wonderful. And I think with Game of Thrones wrapping up in this, it's been fun doing this podcast with you. We might have to just pack it in. We're done.
This could be the last one.
Yeah.
Well, then let the last words of the podcast of all time be, Ryan, I love you 3000.
Oh, you fuck. Killed me.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more.
head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.